is it praying time. We can't get nowhere without praying.
He prayed. We're going to sing this little chorus. And then we're going to all pray together. We're going to say the prayer that was taught to us by the Father. He said he taught his disciples to pray our Father. But we're going to sing this little chorus, and then we're going to all pray together. All who can stand, we're going to ask you to stand. Because you're going to be talking to the great high priest, and you need something from the Lord. Everybody needs something from the Lord. And we need something from the Lord every day, every minute, every second, every hour. We need the Lord. We have our families, we have our monies, we have everything we have. But without God, we have nothing. So we need the Lord. He prayed. Sing with us.
He prayed. Jesus prayed unto the Father all the way from the manger to the cross. Not a moment's time was lost. Jesus prayed unto the Father all the way.
Not a moment time was lost. Jesus prayed. You know I'm talking about Jesus prayed. Anybody know him? Anybody know Jesus? The Son of the Living God. He prayed all the way. If Jesus had to pray, what about you and me? He didn't have a sin in his life. Not one. But my sisters and brothers, he prayed all the way from the manger all the way to the cross for you and me. He didn't miss a moment. And he had to pray. And he had no sins. Just take a minute and look back over your life, all the sins you committed and some you still committing right now. Think about it. We got to be doing some praying. It's praying time. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray all together because everybody knows the disciples' prayer that he taught. And we're going to just say this together. Then we'll go on with the word. I want to do it in about 35, 40 minutes. Because this lesson today is self-explanatory. And we got to follow it. If we don't follow it, we just be like we are. Going this way and that way. Never getting where we're trying to go. So we're going to pray together. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We give God thanks for each and every one that came, the families, the friends, the members of the body of Christ from different churches, wherever you are from. We thank you for taking out your time to be with your family that is a part of the Ridgeway family. We do appreciate every one of you for doing what you have done today. And I can assure you that you will not lose your blessings for coming into the house of God. And I hope that something will be said that you can take with you for the rest of your life, and that you will be able to follow the plan that God himself had laid out for us to be like him. This is so important. If he laid out a plan for us to be like him, it is of the utmost of importance that we follow his plan. You know why it is important to follow his plan? Because we're trying to go to live in his house. I think I'll say that again. It is imperative that we follow the plan that he's laid out because of the fact that we are trying to go to live in his house. You can't go and live in another man's house and do what you want to do and expect for him to let you in. You're not going in. It's just black and white. There's no gray area. You do it the way he says do it, and you will get what he says you will get. And this is what the message is about this morning that the bishop gave me, this topic and this scripture. And I'm just going to say what the Lord say, and I'm done. Because I'm going to follow the plan. I'm going to follow the plan because I want to live in his house. And I know I can't live in his house my way. It can't be my way or the highway. Because there's a highway that leads to the other way. And we want to make sure that we're on the right way. Amen? Amen. And the word of God, he didn't put anything in this book that we can't understand. And if we don't understand it, he said, if you lack understanding, ask me. He said, you come and ask me. And the only way you could ask him is through prayer. Boy, I tell you, he made a plan. I like him. I like him. He's real nice and he's cool. And he loves to explain himself to you fully. Because he don't want you to miss. He said, I desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's why I wrote the book. And I wrote it very plain. And he said, if you are a fool, and what is a fool? Somebody that don't care too much understand things. You know, you tell them to go left, they go right. You tell them to stand up, they sit down. Something is wrong with their understanding. He says in this word, a fool cannot err in what I wrote in this word. Because you know what is important? Let me say it real clear. We can't stay here. It doesn't matter how long we live. And I have a sister that I minister to. She's 102 years old. And even though she's 102 years old, she's going to leave in a little while. Because you can't stay here. You don't live here. You're only residing for a few minutes. You have two homes that you're going to go to. You have a choice to go to one or the other. There is no middle home. Now you're going to follow the plan of the book, end up with Jesus, or don't follow the plan and don't do nothing and end up with the devil. Because you don't have to do nothing to end up with him. You just got to be born. Just be born and don't do nothing. But he has a plan. Praise God. I love him today. And our scripture lesson today is found in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And I won't read through all of it again because it's already been read. But I'll give you a little synopsis on the writer, on Solomon. In this chapter, if you go home and you read it, you read 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, or read from the 1st chapter up to the 7th chapter. Solomon built a house for the Lord. His father was David, and David wanted to build this house for the Lord. Because before that, they lived in tents. He lived in tents with the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't want to really have a house on this place because this land was not his home. But they carried the presence of God around with them in a tent. That's where he lived, in tents. With the Ark of the Covenant, that's where his spirit abides. So they carried it around with him. But David, he felt in his heart that God was so much better than that. God was so much greater than that. He felt that God needed something more elegant for his spirit to dwell in. And you know, it didn't matter how big they built it because the whole earth cannot hold his spirit. He said, if I wrote the books about himself, the world would not be able to keep it. We are serving a big God, a great God, but a God small enough to live in your heart. Woo! What a God! He owns the world. Everybody in it. Everything in it. He owns the world. Yet he's small enough to live in my heart, to live in my heart. And to carry me back to live in his house when he finished this world. Because this world is a mess. Do anybody want to live here forever? If you do, something is wrong with you. If you want to stay here forever, something is wrong with your thinking. Just look around. Don't even look around. Look at your bank account. That's almost the most important thing, that people would like to have enough finance to take care of their business, right? And would like to have some health. Not some of these diseases and sickness that ravaging the world today. People want health and they want wealth. You don't have it, so you don't need to want to stay here, because of the possibility you'll never get it. I didn't say you won't get it now. I said possibility. I mean, you know, sometimes when they win the lottery, get those millions. And I've read the history and I've studied and listened to those people, and they're as miserable as they can be. One man said, I wish I never won the lottery. He said, I won the millions, but I lost my family. I won the millions, but people are coming to my door and calling me. I can't rest. But you see, my father say, if I increase you in wealth, I won't add no sorrows to it. He said, I won't add no sorrows to what I give you. So he might not give you a million, but what he gives you, you'll be contented. What he gives you, it'll be enough to take care of your situation if you do it right. Woo, I like him. He's my friend. My sister would say, I'm the craziest Christian she ever met. But you see, I'm a happy Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. The world ain't got nothing for me. I mean, I get my few dollars and I live my little life. And I'm healthy and I'm doing good. What else do I want? I don't want the millions with the sickness and the problems and the trials and people running me down and calling me. I don't even make much money and they send me a bag to my house. Hey! I get all the mail. Help the blind. Help the poor. Help the lame. Help the everybody. The policemen and the dogs and the cats. Everybody want help from a woman don't even have a job. Then they call on the phone. Can I speak to Emily? Can I speak to Emily? You know why they do that to me, brothers and sisters? Because I'm not stupid. I keep my little money and do what I need to do for myself. And so I pay my bills on time. So they think I'm rich. I don't overstock myself and run my credit cards over the limit where I have to pay late. So they think I got something. Ask my family. My mail is more than anybody in the house. But see, I ain't silly. I say, Lord, bless him. Hallelujah. And they call me on the phone. I say, listen, if I give all y'all my money, I'm not going to have none. Because there's so many of y'all calling. Suppose I give everything to you all, what am I going to have? Y'all don't care if I don't have nothing. But I'm talking about a God who said, if you follow my plan, and if I increase your wealth, you won't have no sorrow with it. How great is that God? How great is that God? But in this book, Solomon, listen to this. This is just a little synopsis of Solomon. Solomon's father, David, couldn't build the temple because he was a man that was a man of war. He had a lot of blood on his hand. You know, not because he did that little sin back there, because God purged him. His heart was still after God. But because of the people, Solomon was David, God didn't want him to build a temple because of the fact he was a warrior, and those nations that God wanted to come and bless, they would be afraid to come to a place that owned by David. So he wants somebody that didn't have all that fighting in them. But if we read the story of Solomon, he fought in a different manner. And so he said, I'm going to let your son build this temple. But David left all the provision for Solomon. Everything Solomon needed as a young man to build the house of God, David left it for Solomon. After Solomon was placed in office, Solomon began to reign. And I want you to go home and read this story because it's very, very important for us to see how God can bless you with everything you need and give you everything you need, and you still act the fool and mess up and lose your way. Read about Solomon. It is very important for you to know what you're talking about when you're talking about somebody. You know, people give all the beautiful things about Solomon. He's a great man, a wonderful man, a black man. But if you look in his background, he did not follow the plan of his father David. You know what happened to him? He had power. He had authority. He had command. So he used it beyond what God gave him to use it for. He went beyond what God had called him to read for. So in the 6th chapter, 30 verses, Solomon was coming to the close of his life. He was coming to the end of his life. And he had built his house and he's built the temple. And he put everything in the temple that was magnificent. Solid gold. Solid iron. Nothing was second class in the temple that he built for the Lord. And we can't live second class life and say we are children of God. You don't have to have a lot of money, but you got to have some stamina. You got to have some stability. You got to have some praise. You got to have some hallelujah. You got to walk with your head high, telling people God love you no matter who you are and what you are. That's all you need. It amounts to praise. And that's what I call riches. Riches is when you are rich in Jesus. Rich in the Holy Ghost. Rich under the anointing. Knowing who you are. Knowing where you're coming from and where you're going. Don't never forget where you came from. Don't forget the bridge that took you over safe. Don't burn the bridges behind you because you might have to go back and pick up something. Remember where you came from. Remember where you are and know where you're going. That is of the utmost importance. And that takes time. It's a process. So Solomon went through the process. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and his house and everything else that he wanted to do that was in his heart. Solomon finished it all. So Solomon got to the place that he needed to dedicate the temple. In 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, if you read through there, he took 30 verses to pray the prayer for that temple. 30 verses. Do it when you get home. Don't do it now. I want you to listen to me. He took 30 verses to pray the prayer. And you know, in that prayer, Solomon prayed his life. He was able to pray that prayer from the depths of his heart because Solomon had made a mess of his life. And he didn't want his sons and those that were coming behind him to make the same mess. He needed God to help them and to keep them. Because when he finishes praying this prayer in the 6th chapter, he said, God, if your people start acting all crazy, start doing the thing that they shouldn't do, I need you to help them. I need you to listen to them. I need you to hear their prayer. Because you see, he had, 500 wives and 300 concubines. He had them because he could have them. And guess what? Not only did he was able to take all these people, he built a special place for one of those wives on her own. A special place. But she was a wife that didn't serve the God of his father. And all of those wives that he had other gods for their gods. And he had to make homage to all those 500 gods. Every one of those women came with a god. And he set up his place that they all would be able to worship their god.
God didn't call Solomon to that. God called Solomon to serve the one and only God. He knew the one and only God, but he had prestige. He had power. He was able to do it because he was the king, but it messed up his life with God. And he allowed those wives and the people that came from them to worship those idol gods in the temple that belonged to the one God. Listen, God ain't got time for that. He ain't playing with that like that. But you know what? He did not make Solomon change. Because Solomon knew the truth. I love him. Because he's not going to make you do nothing. He's going to give you the word and give you the law. So Solomon had all of these people around him. And when he prayed that prayer, which you read when you go home, you'll see why he said what he said, why God said what he said in the 7th chapter. He said, now when Solomon finished this long prayer, and the thing about it, he knelt down on this tall altar he built, and he spread his arms out, and I guess he prayed for about an hour. They had to sit there and listen, because so many of them were so far from God, his God's people. They were so confused, so mixed up, and Solomon knew that they was going to mess up. So he laid out a plan to God. He said, God, if these people make a mess and they just think about this house that I built to you, the real God, if they think about the house that I built for you, the real God, he said, I want you to hear and I want you to forgive them. I want you to heal them because they need your help. And you know, in all of that, Bishop, him at the end of his life, there is nowhere in scripture that Solomon repented. Nowhere in scripture, this wisest man that ever lived, had all the understanding and the wealth and the riches, is nowhere in scripture that Solomon even took time to say, Lord, forgive me. Because of the clamps that all those people had on his life, he was so locked down, all messed up, so high and mighty and proud. Felt like he had it all together. He acted like he was exempted from repentance of the God that gave him the wisdom. Never even said, forgive me, Lord. But he prayed the prayer. And you know why the prayer was answered? Because Solomon prayed that prayer from his heart. Not from his life. Not from his life living. Don't look at your life living. Look into your heart and see what's in your heart. Solomon prayed that from his heart. And that's why in the 7th chapter it says, when he had finished praying, the fire came down. From where? Heaven. And consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. God accepted Solomon's prayer. It was so much of the glory of God, and that's what we are praying for. That's what we are looking to God for. That's what we are beseeching God for. We need the presence of the Lord to fill our churches. We don't need to come in here, sit, pat our hands, some pat, some clap, some say hallelujah, some shake the head, some don't do nothing but look. We need Holy Ghost, have your way. We need Brother John. We need Brother Clark in this last days for the glory of God to fill the house of God, where we can't move but move under the Spirit. The Bible says the house was so filled with the glory of God, the priest couldn't even go into the house. It means that they saw it. They saw the cloud, and it filled the house that the priest could not go in and minister. We're looking for that in this day. Well, some of us are looking for it in this day. We're looking for it. We need it. We need the glory of the Lord in the house of God. It said when all the children of Israel saw. What have you seen lately? Have you seen the fire of God in your situations? In your conditions? In your bodies? In your finance? Have you seen the fire of God come down and eradicate the poverty, the sickness, the situation? Have you seen it? When the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, it was visible. God ain't changed. He the same God he was yesterday, today, and forever. He could fill this house if we get on one accord. Not all of us. We just need like 3 to 7 of us. If 3 or 7 of us in this building get on one accord, pray the prayer of faith, look to the Lord, he'll come down and he'll do it for everybody. Just because the 7 prayed, just because 7 was on one accord, just because they reached the throne of grace, it was one man praying. Only Solomon was praying. He was praying from his heart. He wanted it done, and God did it. When they saw it, when they saw the fire and the glory of God, the Bible tells me they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. No rugs, cushioned seats. They were standing on the pavement. And when they saw God's glory come into the presence of that place, they had enough sense to go down, bow down and worship the true and living God. Even though those other gods was around about watching, God ain't had time for them. He did his business for his children. And they said, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. After they did that, they some sacrifices. You see how much Solomon gave? Thousands of oxen and thousands and hundreds of thousands of sheep. They dedicated to the Lord. Oh, I tell you. Then we're going to go down to the 11th verse. He says in this, after he did all of his 7 14 days, it so happened that it was 14 days of worship and praise. And we're in 2014, so we know we're due for a blessing. We're due for the glory of God in 2014. 7 and 7 is 14, right? Hallelujah. And it says down in this verse I'm looking for, then Solomon finished the house of the Lord, verse 11, and the king's house, and all that came in his heart. That's 11 verse. The 12th verse says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. The last time you seen the Lord in the nighttime. When the last time he talked to you about your condition? When the last time he gave you a plan and said, I want you to get up in the morning, I want you to go east. And there's something there waiting for you, something you've been asking about for a long time. I got somebody waiting for it. I think Brother Eric could testify to those things, that he needed something. And God say, I got this. Just pray. He said, I got this. He don't just say, I got this and don't do nothing. He shows up and shows out. And here's what he said. He said, now Solomon, I heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. When we come into this building, young men, young women, girls and boys, you come in to make a sacrifice to God. You don't come in to see what the preacher gonna say or the singer's gonna sing. You're coming into God. This is just a holding place, just a building. A fire taken now, it burned to the ground. We don't have, we have to go back over there. So this place ain't that important. It's about you coming in and worshiping the Lord and giving your praise and your honor and your glory to God. That's what this place is about. It's just a place for us to gather together. It ain't that important. So don't make it important. Make you important to God. Let your life be important to God. He says, so I have chosen this place for myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, this is what he said. Because of the fact that he knew how we get when we're blessed. Some of us, when we're blessed, we get complacent. We get satisfied. We sit back and say, I have arrived. I got mine, you get yours. He knew that. And this is why he set this verse in order. He said, if I, everybody say I. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. He said, I make you lose your harvest, your money, your job, your husband or your wife. He said, if I do this, ain't nobody, when you're a child of God, ain't no devil doing nothing to you. You gotta get this in your head. If you are a child of God, serving God, the devil is not doing nothing to you. He's trying to tempt you. He's trying to do things like that. But he cannot make anything happen in your life. Whatever happens to you is orchestrated and ordained of God for a purpose. Because let me tell you why. Because you don't know how to get to heaven. You don't know what it takes to be like Jesus. So whatever he does, he said, if I shut up heaven. Now Elijah prayed that prayer because the people were wicked back in those days. They was doing things that was not according to the Lord's way. So Elijah said, let me tell y'all something. It's going to be no rain unless I say so. And God listened to him and bam, there was no rain. God stopped the rain. Elijah didn't stop the rain. He just spoke it out of his mouth through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, I'll back you up. If you're living like I say, I'm going to back you up. And anything you say, I'm going to back you up. He said, no rain. Up in heaven said, no rain. And did it not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah didn't shut up the heaven. He shut up the heaven at the word of the man of God. He said, if I shut up heaven and there's no rain, he said, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. The locust is something that destroys everything you have. It's like what we have today called American greed. That's the locust he's talking about in this chapter. American greed. Greedy for more and more and more what is not theirs. He said, if I allowed American greed today to mess up all your plans you thought you had really in place. If they devour, when you devour something, you eat up everything. It might take your health. Because when you lose everything, in the world today, when those elite rich people lose, what did they do? Commit suicide. Because they done lost what they thought they had. They forgot that it was never theirs. It belonged to God. And they try to use it on their own. So he said, if I command the locusts, remember the locusts he sent in Egypt? Those locusts ate everything that the Egyptian had. Ate up everything. I mean, in a short while, he sent them by the millions. And then when they left that spot, was nothing left on those trees. We're talking about Almighty God. I want you to get this through your spirit. We're talking about God that we are supposed, everybody's supposed to be serving. And look, because you're not on your own, no matter what it is, you're not on your own. You either doing what the devil say or you're doing what God says. No middle ground. He said again, three times, another thing. And if I send pestilence among my people, who's my people? Those of us that love the Lord. Those of us that say we come on the Lord's side. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. He said, if I send pestilence. All kind of little knickknacks and things here, little things here, little things there that make you so discombobulated, makes you so confused, make you so frustrated, make you so mad. He said, I'm sending these things so I can get your attention. And it might not just happen to you in your family. Look at what's going on in your family. Look at what's going on around you. Look at what's going on with your children. You do everything to keep them straight and they go crooked. You give them everything and it ain't enough. Those are pestilence among his people. You can't feel no joy. You can't have no laughter. Can't have no peace. Frustration, 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 frustration. Short and snappy. Can't have a decent conversation with your husband or your wife nor your friend. Everybody snappy, 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 snappy. Everything frustrates you. Think about it. He said, if I send these pestilence among my people, among the children of God, if I do this, don't think about the devil doing it. He ain't doing nothing. God trying to get something out of you. God trying to fix you like he wants you to be, because you're not going to have well done, Sister Peggott, unless you like Jesus. And we don't know how to get like Jesus. So God got to get you like Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to get this today. He told me to tell you to get it today. You can be like. You don't know how. People think they're right. They got it all right. They can do this my way and all that kind of foolishness. This my way. This the way I am. Yes. That's why he's trying to make you the way he is. Because you are the way you are. And he don't like the way you are. He wants you to be like him. So he got to send these pestilence and these locusts. He don't want to kill you. He just want to make you better. He want to make you look better, smell better, do better, live better. That's all he's trying to do. Stop saying the devil, the devil, the devil. He don't have that kind of power over God's people. He said, no weapons formed against my people can prosper. Behold, I give my people power to tread on serpents. And scorpions. And all these things in the world that's poisonous. I've given you power to tramp them down, because the only place they can stay is at your heel. They can't get up your back. I told you, because he can't take no space. You got to give it to him. Once you give him the space, he does what he want to do. So remember that 13th verse for the rest of your life. He said, if I shut up the heavens, if I command, he didn't say if I ask the lotion, the locusts. He said, if I command them to go in Sister Clark life, if I command them to devour all of her substance, if I command them, ain't no two-foot human being can do nothing to you unless God got it going on for a purpose. Then he said, not gonna prosper. Then he said all of that because, you see, in the sixth chapter, Solomon prayed that kind of way. He prayed that kind of way over the building. He set it up that way. So you'll have something to look to. Today we don't look to a building. We look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help coming from the Lord, which make the heavens and the earth. We don't look at a building today. He ain't in no building no more. He right here. Right in our heart. Saying, hey daughter, it is well. It's all right. Everything is all right. You belong to me. And nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Gave it to my father. And nobody can pluck them out of my father's hand.
Yes, 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 yes.
He ain't playing. He ain't no liar. Stop making him out a liar. Like he can't do what he say he'll do. You just need to let him do it. Then he said, and I'm about done. Then he said, if. Everybody say if. Say if. If you have an option You got an option. He don't say you got to do it. That's why I say I likes him. You don't have to do it. He ain't going to make you do it. Because you're the one feeling that he up in heaven, he doing good. He don't need nothing. He own everything. Cattle on 1,000 hills is his. He said, if I was hungry, I'd ask you not for your little milk and your little grains. Because your grains is my grains. I gave you the grains. So I don't need to ask you for none of them. I take it when I get ready. Because it's mine anyway. I don't need nothing from you. So I leave you with an option. Brother Leslie, leave you with an option. You can stay down or you can get up. If you want to stay down, he ain't going to make you get up. You stay right there and see how far you get. I likes that. He said, if my people. Now, ain't no world out there can pray for you. Forgot that. Forgot that. I know that in good English, but forgot that. The banks can't help you. So forgot that. The doctors can't help you. So forgot that. Nobody can help you but Jesus. If Jesus don't get into the doctor's needles and think you're dead. If the Holy Ghost don't talk to the banker where you're trying to get a loan, you ain't getting nothing. Especially when you're black, they don't want to give you nothing. They say, get back. They don't want to give you nothing. But when you go in there with the Holy Ghost, with that full assurance, knowing that, so you're prayed and you done kept his covenant, you done kept his command, you praising and loving him. He said, get up in the morning, go to America, that lady gonna give you a loan. He know how to talk and he know the people and he own the money. You hear me? Okay, y'all hear me? Okay, long as they hear me, it's all right. They'll be all right, me too. If my people, which are called by my name. What is his name? What is his name? What is his name? Now you call by his name and he can't help you. You need to get rid of him. He ain't a bit of good. Get rid of him and he ain't a bit of good. If you call on him and he can't help you, and you're doing everything like you're supposed to do, that's a false God there. Check him out and see what he's wearing. See what kind of clothes he got on. See if he can got some ears he can hear. Check him out. Be like Elijah, say, your God must be on a journey. He might be sleeping, call a little louder. So he's somewhere, he ain't in the right place. Because I'm going to call for my God in a few minutes and I'm going to show you who my God is. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on. He said, which I call by my name. Now he gave you. This is imperative. When I do this, I'm done. He gave us 4 things to do. He said, if you call by my name, Deacon Copeland, if you call by my name, the first thing you got to do is humble. Get out of that old stinking attitude you got. That old high mind that you got. He said humble. Humble means to bring yourself down. Bring yourself down. Come down from where you thought you was. Come down from what you thought you knew. Because you really don't know nothing. Come on down of my way and your way. Come on down from where you think that's the way it is. Because it ain't that way. He said, the first thing I wanted to do is humble. He said, I'm not going to do nothing for you if you don't humble. So you might have been prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing ain't happened. Go back and start again. He said, the first thing I want you to do is humble yourself. After you come down and realize that you don't know nothing, it's all about God, humble yourself, and then you pray. Talk to me a little bit. Talk to me and tell me about what's going on, which I know already. Just tell me. Just tell me. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what's happening. Tell me what's going on around you. Tell me about your husband. Tell me about your wife. Tell me about your children. Tell me about your sickness. Tell me about your finance. Tell me about the God that you're serving on the other side. Tell me about the things I'm doing that ain't right. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Don't leave nothing out because he know everything anyway. So I don't need to hide nothing. He know you did it before you even said it. He said that's the second thing. Humble, pray. Then he say you got to go a little further. You got to go a little further. Go a little further. Yeah. He say seek my face. Check me out. Find where I am. Go all through your spirit. Go all through your mind. Go all through your head. Seek me out of your heart. Get everything out your head, out your mind, until I get in your heart. Once I get in your heart, then you begin to get somewhere. You begin to feel the lightness of his presence. You begin to feel the glory of his presence. You begin to feel that he's right there. Seek my face. And that ain't all. After you seek my face, he said, turn from your wicked ways. Look at that. He said, my people got wicked ways. You don't think you got them because you feel like that just the way you are. He said, whatever you think you are, it's wicked. Turn from your wicked ways. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. No turning, no getting nothing from God. It has to be a change, a substantial